Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everyone, on this Sunday night, July 29th, 2007, to the 232nd episode of Dave's Gone By, the little show that we do here all the way out in Babylon for a station that's technically in Freeport for all of you folks listening, hopefully all over the world. Dave's Gone By, it's been on the air since October 2002, and we've done 232 episodes since then and going strong. And we've got a terrific and strong show for you tonight. It's called Art Brute, because we're going to be brutal about art this evening. And let me tell you why. Because one of the cool things about meeting and greeting folks that I do a couple of times a year at this radio gathering, it's I've talked about it on the air before, where a bunch of people from television and radio and also print media are called to this conclave, this kind of gathering, where we're put on display briefly, and then everybody displays themselves to us. It's basically a way for radio people and TV people to get guests. We all go into this room, and people approach us for a minute or 2 minutes with their books that they want to push, with their ideas, with the services, the products that they want to sell. They just want to get on these shows and promote themselves, promote their work, and, you know, either be rejected or be accepted and get on to perhaps dozens of different shows all across the country in different outlets and different media. It's very exhausting. It's also a lot of fun, and you get to meet a lot of cool people, some of whom have ended up appearing on Dave's Gone By and on other programs on WGBD, this radio station. Well, the other nice thing is that you also get to meet the other folks who are from other media. So a fellow named Bob Cudmore, who's become a good friend and acquaintance. I've been on his show out at WVTL in Rochester, and he's been on my show, and we have this cool thing going back and forth. So he wasn't one of the people approaching, he was one of the folks being approached. Then there are some others that I've been keeping friends with and tabs with. And then at the last meeting, there's a very cool person who works on, first of all, a website and something called thefrugalyankee.com, and she'll be talking about that as well. And as we got to discussing, turned out one of her sidelines involved art, but in a very peculiar and interesting and fun way. Her name is Louise Sacco, and she is, let me see if I can get this right, it's the Acting Temporary Interim Executive Director, some combination of that phraseology. She's the interim executive director of the Museum of Bad Art in Needham, Massachusetts. There is actually, apparently, a museum devoted to art that will make you nauseous or make you laugh or just make your jaw drop down as your eyes widen and you look at it and you go, okay, someone painted that. Someone thought they were good while they were painting that, and someone thought that people would enjoy looking at it. Well, it turns out at least they were one-third right on that score, because the people who run the Museum of Bad Art in Massachusetts have discovered that they love looking at these paintings that are all out of proportion, these paintings where the scale and the size makes no sense, these pictures where they're either maudlin or completely nonsensical, or they're influenced by certain kinds of art or art movements of the 19th and 20th century, but perhaps not influenced with enough talent to make them happen properly. So, it's this cool story of how, starting almost by accident, this collection of sculptures and paintings that would fit the criterion of bad art. And Luis Sacco, who is co-founder of this actual real-life place and museum, is going to be on Dave's Gone By tonight to explain it all and to tell us about the rotten, terrible, hilarious artworks that she has on display in the museum and at the website. I think I have the URL for you. It's museumofbadart.org. museumofbadart.org. So if you're listening along on the internet at am1240wgbb.com and got your live stream going, then you can listen to the show. And while we're talking, you can actually scroll through a whole bunch of the artworks. And what's even more fun is bad or interesting, or maybe you'll like some of the art. Maybe you won't even understand why they consider some of it bad. You might disagree. But you'll definitely get a chuckle also of the little descriptions that they wrote of each piece. And if the art doesn't make you laugh, certainly those will. Museumofbadart.org. And again, this show streams every week live on the internet. I know the stream was down for the radio station earlier in the day because of all those thunderstorms and blackouts in the area. But we're up. We're streaming. We're coming at you with, well, I was going to say watts or kilohertz or megahertz or something like that, but it's digihertz or something. And, you know, if they're digihertz, you really should get that checked. So give that a look at that website and give a listen to Luis Sacco coming up in just a couple of minutes on Dave's Gone By. Also on this episode of the show, Inside Broadway, with some really cool Broadway and off-Broadway news, as well as a review of a good play. I saw a good small play this week, and going to tell you about that as well as part of Inside Broadway, which, by the way, is sponsored by Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway, since 1944. I know I've got you running to a bunch of different websites, but another one to run to is PerformingArtsInsider.com. Oh, and as long as we're doing sponsors and websites, you might as well also check out MortgagesRock.com. It's the place where you can go not only to get a mortgage loan or a loan, other financing for college education, for putting a new wing on your house, for refi, whatever it is, MortgagesRock.com will do that for you. But it will also teach you how to be a mortgage broker and give other people loans and financing and get the commission. It's all wrapped in this one website, MortgagesRock.com. And we want to give our love to the sponsor, Hewlett Minuteman Press, one of our very, very first sponsors of the program and still beloved by us. They're at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island. 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners at Hewlett Minuteman Press for all your copying and printing needs. And finally, a shout out to Jeff Goodman, who is the owner and operator of Fancy Schmancy Balloons. Now, Jeff is not with us because he's on the West Coast this weekend. He's often with us as a guest co-host, and he will be, assumedly, back next week. And he will be back next week also to take your orders for party planning for your balloons and centerpieces. And you can also set up all the other party stuff that you need for flowers and catering and DJs, all that. He's connected to it all, but his main thing are the balloons and the centerpieces, and Fancy Schmancy is the place to call. 516-797-3229. I'll wait while you see you're all at your computer, so you don't have your pen and pencil at the moment. So get your pen and pencil, your paper. Take down Fancy Schmancy Balloons. 516-797-3229. Okay, that takes care of our sponsors. I've told you that we've got Luis Sacco coming on the program. I've told you about Inside Broadway. And then also, if there's time, at the end of the show, we're going to do a Dave Says Bye segment because America lost a very, very talented and rather quite a noteworthy cinematographer this past week, Laszlo Kovacs. And we'll tell you a little bit about him and give him a fond farewell. But first we got to say all these fond hellos to our advertisements, and then we'll be saying hi to Luis Sacco on Dave's Gone By right after these messages.
You rock! Yeah! Yeah! You rock! You know what else rocks? Mortgages Rock! Yeah, because MortgagesRock.com gives you the chance to help your friends get the loans they need. college loans, home improvement, new trailer, MortgagesRock.com helps you help them. And the more work you do, the more commission you get. Full service, fully licensed, MortgagesRock.com has real experts on the phone, at the website, in the office, making you a bigger, better broker. MortgagesRock.com, where making money never sounded so good. Rock on, mortgages!
I mean, I don't understand completely.
I'm not surprised.
But he combines all these different trends.
I'm not surprised.
You can't divide our today into categories neatly.
Oh.
What matters in the means, not the end.
I'm not surprised.
That is the state of the art, my dear. That is the state of the art.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. And they say that art is in the eye of the beholder. But sometimes art is kind of in the nose of the beholder, because it leaves a certain lingering stench if the art is done right, or should I say wrongly. And then sometimes it's a pretty fine line, but someone who wants to walk that line and also see how that line is drawn is Louise Sacco, and she helped found and currently heads a museum out in Dedham, Massachusetts, called the Museum of Bad Art, or as they like to call it, MOBA. So Louise is here with us to tell us all about bad art and her museum of it. Hello, Louise.
Hi, Dave. Great to talk to you about our museum.
Yeah. The obvious questions. How did this come about? How did it start? What gave you the idea? And how did it steamroll into a whole actual museum space?
Well, it started in 1994 when Scott Wilson, who is an arts and antiques dealer, was driving slowly on trash night, the way arts and antiques dealers do, and saw a picture in a frame by the trash in a Boston neighborhood, and he threw it in his car, figuring he would throw out the painting, clean up the frame, and sell it.
Yeah.
His friend, Jerry Riley, saw this painting and said, wait a minute, you can't throw that out. You know, that's so bad it's good. I want that. And Jerry hung the painting in his house. It seemed to attract other bad art. Scott found more, and other friends gave him more. And before you know it, Jerry had the beginning of a really bad, bad art collection. And one day, five of us were sitting around talking about it, and we realized that everybody loves bad art. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And that we ought to start a museum. And we thought it might last a year or two, and here it is 13 years later, and the Museum of Bad Art is still going strong.
Okay, now, oh, God, so many questions are in my head right now. But first of all, how would you define bad art? What makes it bad as opposed to eh or good?
Well, it's one thing that's interesting is that our definition actually overlaps with the definition of good art for the most part.
Okay.
Which is that it needs to be original, needs to be sincere, needs to speak to people. You know, we're looking for art that people react to. But then where the good art people say, and it needs to be finely done and good by all kinds of aesthetic judgments, we say, and it also needs to be too bad to be ignored, is the phrase we use. And that's the kind of thing that if you're walking past a gallery with a group of friends and somebody says, wow, look at that, it's 50-50 whether it's look at that because it's so good, or look at that because it's so bad. But it's the non-boring stuff on the good end and the bad end that we think belongs in museums.
So, I mean, I always sort of wonder when I go to the Museum of Modern Art or places that carry that kind of modern art, and I see the giant paintings with white everywhere and one slash of color, or even something like a Mark Rothko, which is, to me, boxes on top of boxes. I know it's supposed to evoke some kind of mood. But I wonder if one day you threw one of those in there and you didn't tell people it was an important multi-million-dollar Rothko, would they go, man, I could have painted that in 45 minutes in my garage?
You know, I don't think so. I think that a Rothko or another real modern master, just because they're abstract and modern, doesn't mean they're bad. You know, I think that the abstracts that we have, you would look at, and if you had 100 people there, none of them would really see meaning in them. You know, whereas on the good abstract art, if you have 100 people, 30 or 40 of them are going to see something.
I have to wonder, what was the first painting that was salvaged?
The first painting is still an icon with us. It's called Lucy in the Field with Flowers.
Oh.
And like so many of the works that we've ended up with, there's a story. This painting is, it's a woman standing in a field, and the breeze seems to be blowing in two directions at once, because some things are going one way and some are going another, and the back of the field might be on fire, and the sky is yellow for some unexplained reason. And we loved the painting. We showed it. It was in news stories. We got a phone call from a woman who said, "That's my Nana." And we got the whole background of how this picture came to be painted. And it was after Nana died, and the picture was painted from two photographs. In one of them, Nana was sitting, and in one she was standing, which explains why it's really hard to tell. Is she sitting or standing, and does she have a seat glued to her bottom? And we became great friends with the family, with Nana's family.
Wow.
One of the things that we do always with the paintings that we exhibit is we interpret them for our audience to help them understand it.
Well, that is one of the beautiful things about it. Like, there's a, on your website, which is, where is that, museumofbadart.org, you have pictures of many of your paintings and their descriptions. Like, here's one of The Athlete, which you call a startling work, and one of the largest crayon on canvas pieces that most people can ever hope to see. That got me right there. Just the bulging leg muscles, the black shoes, the white socks, the pink toga, all helped to make this one of the most popular pieces in the MoBA collection.
Well, we believe that our interpretation is the value we add to these pieces, because anybody can find bad art. It's everywhere. And we find it in the trash, flea markets, yard sales, dead guys' houses. People are always sending stuff that their grandpa died and they found this painting in the attic. But what we add always is the interpretation.
Now, have you had any of your paintings at this point loaned out to other museums? Do they travel? Do they circulate?
Oh, sure. We did an exhibit a few years ago with the Suffolk County Art Museum in Virginia. We've been at the Ellipse Gallery in Washington.
Now, these are quote-unquote real galleries.
Oh, yes. These are our serious art people. We last summer sent an exhibit to Ottawa, to the Saw Gallery in Ottawa. We've been at Art Week in Calgary.
And all of the whenever these paintings are sent out, though, they're as a group and labeled under the term bad art.
Oh, yes. They're sent out as a show, the best of the Museum of Bad Art or from the Museum of Bad Art with our interpretations. And they're very well received everywhere.
Now, you had that lovely bit of history about that first painting and the woman and her relative and all that. But have you had instances where painters, or I guess, do you do sculptures as well?
We have sculptures as well.
Where the makers have contacted you and said, "How dare you put me in a museum under that title?"
You know, when we founded the museum, we were concerned about that would happen and that we would offend these people or hurt their feelings, which we didn't want to do. We're celebrating this art. We love it. We want to share it. We want to have fun with it. But what has happened is that some artists have come forward and said, "Hey, that's my piece." Always, they've been pleased that we're exhibiting it.
Really?
Yeah, artists, we've learned, want to share their work. They're trying to communicate something. And we're part of that. And we, beyond our name, the Museum of Bad Art, we never make fun of these pieces because we love them. So we describe them, we show them, we share them. And artists want to do that. They want people to see their work, to talk about it, think about it.
And there's also that old thing of any publicity is good publicity.
Exactly. It's not unusual for professional artists who are earning their living this way to send us pieces.
And really?
Yeah. And it took us a while to understand that. And what we finally came to understand is that they can't lose. Because if we turn them down, they can tell themselves, "Well, I guess I'm not that bad."
Ha ha!
But if we accept them, they can tell themselves, "Wow, I'm in a museum."
Well, what do you turn down? Something that's too good?
we turn down about 90% of what's offered. And some of it's too good. Some of it isn't art.
What, like what? Like an advertising or a...
It's craft, you know. It's paint by numbers with the wrong colors in all the wrong places. Well, that can be interesting, but, you know, it's, we don't consider it art.
Oh, okay.
Or it's just unoriginal and boring. Or it's deliberately made to be bad, which is uninteresting. You
Bingo.
You want sincerity.
I was wondering about that, because one of the things that this radio show prizes is outsider music.
Yes.
Something that was developed, like, or codified by a DJ over at WFMU, who had a show called about outsider music. And it was a very, very... I mean, the definition had some wiggle room.
Right.
But it was very important that the songs themselves were sincerely done. If
yes.
the guy was intentionally bad, it didn't cut it. Then it became spoof or a joke, and it didn't work. It was really about people who thought they're trying to get something across, and something got lost in the translation.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things that they are doing and that we are doing is celebrating people's chance to fail. You know, fail, if you're going to fail, do it spectacularly. Throw your heart into it. Throw it all out there and let's see it. One kind of painting, we have some genres almost, or at least categories of art that we see. And one category that I find very interesting is artists who are overthinking it and come up with things that are so overwrought with meaning that you can't even sort it out. I mean, the symbolism just gets piled on, and they're mixing metaphors visually. And
it's Miró and Picasso in the same painting.
Yes. You just don't know where to start.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, another thing is that we, with the professional artists, we get things that are very well done, beautiful technique, and people who really know what they're doing. But, you know, the question is, why? Why? And one example of that, you may have seen on our website a piece called Sunday on the Pot with George.
Yes.
And that's a pointillism piece. Pointillism, we've been told, is really hard to do. All those little dots to suggest all kinds of detail. Why would you go to all that trouble to make a good-sized painting in pointillism? It's 22 by 37 inches. And do a picture of this fat middle-aged guy in his tighty-whities sitting on a toilet.
Yeah. Well, I can answer that question, because even seeing it small on the website, that made me laugh pretty much more than anything else. I mean, when I saw that, I was just broke into this spectacular grin. Even though the title's a little, you know, Sunday on the Pot with George, ha-ha. But just seeing that, I was, wow! That's why he did it, because it's wow!
It is. It really is. And this picture, in fact, illustrates another thing we see often with bad art. Bad artists often have trouble with hands and feet, so they often just run them off the end of the canvas, like this one. You know, it looks like he ran out of space when he got to the feet, and he even elongated those legs a little bit so that the feet would be off the bottom.
Minute Man, the superheroes of photocopying, printing and binding. Minute Man, no job too big or small. Minute Man, family run since 1975. Minute Man, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island, next to the new Lowman's shoe store. Tell them they've sent you for 10% off. Minute Man, hero of our photocopying dreams.
Art isn't easy.
Even when you have a massive binding to prime it.
Suddenly, you're past it.
All compromises. And then when it's on the gold record.
Art isn't easy. Anyway you look at it.
Hi, this is Louise Riley Sacco. I'm the permanent acting interim executive director of the Museum of Bad Art. You're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
We are talking with Louise Sacco of the Museum of Bad Art in Dedham, Massachusetts. By the way, I couldn't get your title there. You're not just curator.
I'm not the curator. That's Mr. Michael Frank. No, I'm the permanent acting interim executive director.
Permanent acting interim executive. So does this mean that you're looking for another executive director, or does the permanent part say, no, you're it until you die or the art kills you?
Well, I was the interim acting because the board of directors had trouble deciding which it should be. And a couple of years ago, we finally managed to get the museum mentioned in the National Enquirer, which had been a long time goal. And I used that to say, look, I need to be appointed to a permanent position. And the board resolution on that was unfortunately worded, so I ended up as the permanent acting interim executive
now,
director.
All of this sounds a little bit jokey, but again, I'm assuming you're a nonprofit organization. You have a board.
We're a nonprofit organization with a board. We run a museum which is now located in the basement of an old 1927 movie theater outside Boston, and it's free.
It's
so,
free.
Free.
Because who would pay? No, I'm kidding.
Well, people often make donations to help us cover our costs. And, of course, like every museum, we sell books and T-shirts and tote bags on the web at www.museumofbadart.org.
Are you breaking even?
Yeah, we are.
Wow.
We're covering our costs. We sell a fair number of books and T-shirts. And we two exciting things. We have a second book coming out in spring of 2008. And we have some Boston filmmakers who are doing a documentary film about the Museum of Bad Art that next fall we expect will start to show up in festivals, perhaps on PBS.
Oh, fantastic. And so in other words, they're following some of the artists around, as it were, and also you guys and the history of the whole place.
Yeah, and they covered, we don't know how much will be in the film, they covered an auction that we have. Every few years we have a rejection collection auction where we auction off things people have sent us but that don't make it into our, don't meet our standards. And every piece comes with a certificate that says this was rejected by the Museum of Bad Art.
Wow. Now, how come you have the right to do that? Doesn't it go back to the artist? Or are we still talking things that were salvaged from...
These were salvaged. They were sent to us. They were bought at yard sales or flea markets. So.
Wow.
We have a lot of fun with this stuff. And another thing I want to make sure your listeners know is that if they go to our website, they can sign up for our newsletter, and they will hear then about new pieces we've acquired, events. If they ever get to the Boston area, they might want to come to an opening. But they can just keep track of what we're up to, and we'll know, for instance, when this film comes out and when the book comes out.
Let me ask you, still getting on the idea of the bag, are any of your paintings Clowns on Black Velvet, which people seem to assume is the watershed or the standard by which all bad art is measured?
That's not even bad art in our definition. That's kitsch, which is a whole other story. Big-eyed babies and clowns and Elvis on Velvet.
Dogs playing poker?
Dogs playing poker. That's all kitsch. And yeah, it's not original. It's mass-manufactured product. So it's not, we appreciate that, but it's not what we collect.
So, or however, if an artist tried to draw a clown on Black Velveeta, that you might...
Well, we'd be a little concerned with the sanitary issues there. We try not to have pieces that are growing colonies of mold.
You know, there are artists. There was this artist somewhere in, I think, Italy, who sprayed a hotel room with processed cheese.
Yeah, we definitely would not be interested in that. We just we don't have the sanitation staff to keep up with it.
Now, what about when you talk about the mass marketing of art? I forget the guy's name, but what about artists who...
Thomas Kincaid.
Yes.
Thomas Kincaid, we certainly agree, is a bad artist, if an artist he can be called. But our budget is pretty limited. We are never going to acquire a Kincaid, nor are we that interested in it, because it's more of a manufactured product than anything else.
Do you ever look at your... How many, roughly... paintings and sculptures do you have in your collection at this point?
Well, we know that because we've just been doing some work on the inventory. We have over 400 pieces.
Wow.
Now, we only have space to exhibit about 35 or 40 at a time. So every few months we change the show, put up a new show, a new collection. Right now, the collection that's hanging has one section on blue faces. We suddenly realized that we had an awful lot of paintings that feature people with blue faces, so we pulled that together for a theme.
Probably because Walmart had a sale on Bromothymol Blue 15 or something that week.
Well, that's one artist, when we asked about this, one artist said, well, blue paint is cheap.
Really? Oh, my God.
That's so you may be onto something.
Now, but the other thing is, do you ever, once you've acquired these things and they're part of the museum and you're maybe going through them to pick your next show or you're walking around once your next show is up, and do you ever have these doubts where you look at it and go, wait a minute, that's actually not bad, that's good?
Hasn't happened yet.
Really?
I suppose it's possible. We do have visitors who come in and want to argue about our judgments and, you know, say that, gee, that's not that bad, that's really good. And we love that, because what that means is that people are looking at it and thinking about it and they're engaged by it. And we contend that if you take a bunch of kids to visit our museum before you take them to the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, they're going to enjoy both more, because we're kind of giving them permission to disagree and to have their own judgments. And, you know, we're not going to just say, well, because this is in our museum, you must believe this about it.
Well, you know, the real money for arts organizations tends to be in education, tends to be like school groups. So what you really need to do is to start getting teaching artists in there to teach the kids how to make rotten art.
You know, I hadn't thought of that, Dave. I like this. We do get a pretty steady stream of school groups in, and we have a lot of fun with them and, you know, get them talking and expressing themselves. And if they're little kids, we usually get them doing their own, doing some artwork for us with crayons.
What are the gifts that keep on giving? Education, culture, herpes. What about a Dave's Gone By CD? For just $11, you can surprise and delight that special someone with a digitally recorded hour of comedy, music, and magic. Nearly every episode we've ever done is on sale, so visit davesgoneby.org to choose the show you want. Save money with multiple orders, add a dollar for a personal autograph. Dave's Gone By on CD, my gift to the world.
This is Louise Riley Sacco. I'm with the Museum of Bad Art, and anytime I'm on Long Island, I listen to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
We're talking with Louise Sacco of the Museum of Bad Art in Massachusetts. And before we finish up with Louise, I wanted to get to that other thing, because how much of your time as a person is spent dealing with all the duties that you're taking care of in the museum? Because you do a lot of other stuff.
I do. I am a radio show host, a concept you're familiar with. Here in Boston.
Really?
Yeah.
What show, where, what, how?
The Frugal Yankee Radio Hour is a weekly show about spending less and enjoying life more. And, of course, we also have a website, frugalyankee.com. So I do that. I'm a marketing consultant to some small companies. So I'm spending probably a I would tell my husband I'm spending a day a week. It's probably more like 2 days a week on the Museum of Bad Art.
Well, that's cool. That's, and as long as the other stuff is keeping you busy. And what does your husband do?
He is a he teaches graduate schools of education.
But he's not involved in the museum at all? Or?
He's not.
He's not.
We do have a curator, Michael Frank. He's a professional musician, and he's our curator. And we have some other volunteers who come and go and help us as are needed or sit on our board.
Do you think there's going to be a point, though, when you outgrow the Dedham Community Theater basement?
I don't think so, because the it's such a good fit. There's a nice historic connection between movie theater lobbies and bad art. there's that, and also the fact that our very good friends at the Dedham Community Theater give us the space for free.
Oh, well, yeah. That's even better than the Joseph Papp deal with New York for the public theater.
It is.
He had to pay a buck, you know?
Yeah, we don't even pay the buck.
That, no wonder you guys are making the prop. Now I get it.
Yeah, right.
The damn T-shirts. Is that you're not paying rent?
We're not paying rent. We have volunteers doing everything. We're not paying salaries. So, you know, we've got some costs for our website and for some framing and for some maintenance and things like that.
Oh, and the postage, I'm assuming, when you're sending art around, is probably quite high.
Paying to get things shipped, boxed up and shipped and all of that. But if we're buying art, we won't pay more than $6.50 for a piece. And most of it we get donated.
Oh, that's... How did you arrive at $6.50? As opposed to, like, $10 or $5?
I don't know. And that was said in 1995. So our curator is actually leaning pretty hard on us to push that up to $11 or $12, which I suspect will happen soon.
Or if you start doing kitsch, you've got to do it at, like, $6.99. Because then if you start accepting a little bit of kitsch into the museum, it's got to be $8.99.
Right, yeah. I hadn't thought of it that way. We still are, thrift stores seem to be our best source. And our curator gets to know the owners of some of the thrift stores, so they know that if he gets his eye on it, they're not going to get more than $6.50 for it.
Oh, Louise, this is great. Again, we're talking to Louise Sacco of the Museum of Bad Art. And as we go, I do want to ask some of your very favorite pieces of bad art, either from your collection or from wherever you've seen it.
My favorite piece this week, and it does change, is called Pauline Resting. And Pauline is a voluptuous nude who is lying across a sofa or something. And it was evidently painted by someone who has never seen a nude human woman. She has a dislocated hip, and she has breasts that are somehow suspended from her shoulders, and she's just very interesting. And she has underarm hair that seems to have been added later with a magic marker.
You know, either it's a really terrible rendering, or this is someone, a Polish woman, in a terrible accident. But no, I'm... I kid. Now, and here's a question to throw you, though. What is your favorite piece of great art?
Oh, wow. No one's ever asked me that before. It would have to be one of the Renoirs in the MFA, the Museum of Fine Arts here in Boston. And there's one that I can't think of the name of right now, of a woman dancing with a sailor, that's just wonderful.
Have you ever come across a piece of bad art by a great artist?
Oh, sure. Our contention is that any artist can paint a piece of bad art. But one thing we're not interested in doing is, I don't want to go into the Met and start telling them that, well, that's really bad and you should give it to us. We want them to respect our curating decisions, and we will respect theirs.
Has the Met ever been in any kind of touch with you, like a little feeler, or just sending you a note saying, hey, we think you're really cool. You'll never be in our museum, but we think we're really cool.
Yeah, the Museum of Fine Arts here in Boston we've been in touch with. And, in fact, a few years ago we had scheduled a softball game with them.
Oh.
But it turned out that the city of Boston double-booked the softball fields and the game never went off. And what we wanted to do there was to bet our best against their worst, but they wouldn't go for that.
Oh, it was a museum of bad planning there.
Yeah.
But anyway, this has just been a totally fun conversation with Louise Sacco, the permanent interim something director, creator. What was that?
The permanent acting interim executive director of the Museum of Bad Arts.
And it's at 580 High Street in something called Dedham Square in Dedham, Massachusetts. I guess that's, where is that in relation to, like, Boston?
8 miles south of Boston.
Oh, cool. So people are driving, they can get there pretty quick.
And if they're in Boston, they can even get out by bus, public transportation.
It's free admission at the Museum of Bad Art. Find out more at museumofbadart.org. No. Also, you can find out more about your regular show. When is that on?
Sunday afternoons from 1 to 2 in the Boston area. And, of course, streaming over the web from WNTN.com.
So, and if people want to go there is a frugalyankee.com
yes.
website, too. Louise Sacco, thank you so much, and I wish you much really horrible, wrenching art in the years...
Thank you, David.
...in the years to come.
And I've had a lot of fun talking to you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
No presence.
No passion.
No life. It's neither pastoral nor lyrical.
You don't suppose that it's satirical?
Just density without intensity.
No life. Boys with their clothes on.
I must make a factory then.
It's so mechanical.
Methodical.
It might be in some dreary socialistic periodical.
Good.
So grab, so cold.
And so controlled.
No life.
His touch is too deliberate somehow.
The dog.
These things get hot. And then they're gone.
Of course he's young. But getting old.
Oh. All mind, no heart. No life in his art.
No life in his life.
No.
Hello,
This is Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick for the ASPCA. They are an organization that takes stray cats and dogs and puts them in your house, or else they lethal injectify them. There's so many unwanted animals, they can only be kept in cages for so long. If you've been looking for a pet, don't be going to no puppy mill or pet store. Contact your local animal shelter and see what they got on death row there. You can get pure breeds, half breeds, mixed breeds, with all their shots with their balls cut off, all of that. For example, the shelter where I live just got a whole family of purebred pit bulls. Beautiful, strong, tough-ass dogs. Some of them got bruises. Some of them got chunks taken out of them. Not everybody's a winner. Some of them missing little bits of their hind legs where the razor blades were strapped to. But make no mistake, the weakest, slowest, faggiest of these here pit bulls could kick your schnauzer's ass. I mean it. Put these mother effers in a ring and watch them. Not that I ever would put them in a ring or root for one dog to turn another into hamburger or drown the fucking loser who cost me $30,000 from one bite. No, I'd never do that. But I would get my animal from an accredited shelter where they can match the right pet to the right peoples. So if, like me, you appreciate a fine bitch or some beautiful pussy, call the ASPCA. Who let the dogs out? You can. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Yes, inside Broadway, outside Broadway, all around Broadway, and off tonight on this segment of Dave's Gone By on this July 29th, 2007. So let's see what news we have all along the Rialto. Well, actually, we're going to almost break tradition here and almost do something sacrilegious. First, we're going to talk about movies. One particular movie, Hairspray. Hairspray had the biggest opening weekend for a movie musical ever. It made $27.5 million last weekend on roughly 4,000 screens. And just to compare, the original Hairspray, the semi-musical that John Waters did back in 1988, that made only $6.7 million in its entire theatrical run. So, not too bad. And the Hairspray movie opened even better than Best Little Whorehouse, the film, remember, with Burt Reynolds and Dolly Parton, and the Grease movies, although Grease went on to build to over $500 million after its major run. So, granted, Hairspray was not the top film last weekend. It was beaten by, I now pronounce you, Chuck and Larry, and also Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. But it was number three with a bullet, and it did pretty darn well. So maybe it bodes well for other movies of shows coming up in the future, especially Sweeney Todd, that I'm certainly looking forward to. Okay, also have another bit of Broadway news. There's a show, a 1967 play, that is once again coming back to Broadway. It's been there a few times. It's a show called Homecoming by Harold Pinter. I think it's The Homecoming. I should have put the V in there. Ian McShane, you might have seen him on cable TV in Lovejoy, and he was also in a major character in the HBO series Deadwood. Ian McShane is going to star in The Homecoming with the one and only and one of my favorite Broadway actors, Raul Esparza. He was, of course, Tony-nominated for Company this past season. You also saw him in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. He's doing theater all the time. I think he's really one of our best. I'm not that crazy, I have to say, about the show Homecoming. It's all about these nasty little family of men, the father and two brothers. And one of the brothers comes home with his new bride. And, she has a mind of her own and some thoughts about how she will end up running that household. It's a weird, creepy, odd, funny kind of piece. Typical sort of Pinter of the period. You can follow it, and then when it's over, you sort of wonder, well, what it was really about or what it meant. But with a cast like that, it might be pretty darn interesting. I don't know who's playing the woman yet, but it's
Homecoming coming back to Broadway this season. Now let's move on to some off-Broadway stuff. First of all, happy Naked Birthday. Happy Naked Ninth Birthday to Naked Boy Singing. Happy Naked Ninth Birthday at New World Stages. Now, Naked Boy Singing has been running for 9 years. Granted, unlike most off-Broadway shows, it isn't doing 8 or 7 performance week anymore. It's only doing 3 shows a week. But it's still running, or should I say streaking, and as the website says, the show still runs a lean, hard 70 minutes, and I swear to God, ticket prices are $69. I haven't seen Naked Boy Singing since it opened, but it's basically cute little comic sketches, not particularly lascivious for the most part, except for the fact that for, I would say, 70 to 80% of the show, the well-built men in it are naked. That's a reason enough for you to go to the theater, and, well, considering the theater audience these days, it probably is, head on down to New World Stages and celebrate the birthday of Naked Boys Singing. Now, let's have some applause, please, for City Center's Encores series. Now, first of all, they're getting tons and tons of applause for the just-finished run of the revival of Gypsy, starring Patti LuPone. Now, usually, Encores does these musicals that are basically concert readings. People kind of dress up in half costumes, there's no real props, and they're standing at microphones. This time, they had a longer run with a bit more staging, actually staged by Arthur Lawrence, and he was, of course, one of the book writer of Gypsy, and people thought Patti was phenomenal. There's talk of they would love to bring it to Broadway. Don't know about that, but Encores has announced what they're going to be playing this coming season, in their 3-show season. So, hot off the heels of the hugely acclaimed Gypsy is going to be applause. Broadway hasn't seen that since the 1970 original. That was the one that starred Lauren Bacall and Bonnie Franklin and Leroy Reams. Well, now, Tony winner Christine Ebersole, she just won the Tony for Grey Gardens. She is going to star in Applause in the Lauren Bacall role. That's coming in the, I think, early winter. And that'll be followed by a revival of the rarely staged Juno. It's a musical based on the Sean O'Casey play, Juno and the Paycock. Really, actually, it's one of the great plays in English theater history. Not one of the great musicals, but there may be some things in there to recommend it, especially for the fact that it's going to be directed by Jettie Hines, and she was the lady who directed The Beauty Queen of Le Mans on Broadway, oh, I guess almost 10 years ago now. So that's the second show in the encore season, and then it'll be followed by No, No, Nanette with Beth Level and, God help us, Rosie O'Donnell. She'll be in the 3rd show of the encore season at City Center. And speaking of seasons, we have an off, or maybe it's even an off-Broadway season to tell you about, at Soho Repertory. They've been around for a bit, but they've got a new artistic director, Sarah Benson. And so she's instituting these new things and trying to get some new energy going there. So, dig this. One of the policies that they're instating is tickets for shows during the whole season at Soho Rep are $20 during previews, $25 during the regular run, very reasonable compared to Broadway and off, but dig this, Sunday performances, Sunday matinees, 99 cents for everybody. That's at Soho Rep. Now, the season is going to be Philoctetes. Now, that's not a dirty word. That's an old Greek play about this guy with a stinky, stinky foot who's been exiled by his people, except now they need to beg him to come back and save them from a warring army. This is an adaptation of Philoctetes by John Jezerin, who's a performance-based and media kind of artist. Also on the Soho Rep season, No Dice. That sounds like fun. It's an epic look at an amateur dinner theater by the Nature Theater of Oklahoma, which has nothing to do with Oklahoma. They're actually based in New York City. And finally, a not very nice sounding play, Blasted, a work by the late Sarah Kane about a woman who is raped in her hotel room, and then her rapist is raped and blinded by a soldier. But wait, there's more. So if you want to see Blasted as well as Philoctetes and No Dice, come to Soho Rep this coming season. For all that information, go to SohoRep.org. Well, I want to tell you also about one show I saw this week off-Broadway that I kind of liked, and I'm going to do that after saluting our sponsor. Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret. These are magical words conjuring up a universe of great entertainment. If you want to know everything about what's happening on the stages of New York, get Performing Arts Insider magazine. For 61 years, Performing Arts Insider has been a bible of the industry. When are shows opening and closing? What are they about? Who's in the cast? Designers, writers, composers, contacts for producers and managers, box office info, parental guides, everything you need to know if you care about theater, opera, cabaret, and dance. As the chief editor of Backstage put it, Performing Arts Insider is who, what, where, and when, all the facts at your fingertips. For more information, to subscribe or get a sample issue, call 516-295-1511 or go to performingartsinsider.com. And we're back with more of Inside Broadway on Dave's Gone By. I just want to give a plug to a show called Two Thirds Home that's playing at the Michael Weller Theater, very conveniently located right in Midtown at 311 West 43rd Street. The theater company is the Broken Watch Theater, and they're doing a play by an American but Irish descent playwright named Porrock Lillis. Well, anyway, that's a lot of information, but the name of the show is Two Thirds Home, and it's an old-fashioned family conflict play. You've got the two brothers who are coming back to their childhood home on the day that their mother has been buried, on the day of the funeral. And, of course, as typical in plays like this, they just want to get some of the stuff, get some of the files, and leave, but then there wouldn't be a play. So they come there and they start hashing out their memories and their resentments. And also living in that house is the woman for whom their mother divorced their father. The mother fell in love with another woman, and they've been living together for a bunch of years. But of course there's all sorts of resentments and who told who what and who loved who more. And I know it doesn't sound so interesting, but it's really smart. It's well done and surprisingly funny. That's what really caught me. You figure it's just going to be a lot of yelling and upset people, and then they catch you with these scenes where you're hooked and you're laughing, and then they pull the rug out a little bit, and it's like, whoa. And it's pretty much like that all the way through. Not great, but it's pretty darn good. It's called Two Thirds Home, and it's at the Michael Weller Theater through August 12th. Go see it. And I'll see you inside Broadway. We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Read any good books lately? Well, you might as well try mine. It's called Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, and it's available from Holvo Books. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World is a collection of my plays, most of them weird, zany, fun comedies, almost all of them produced on the stages of New York. So check them out at my website, davesgoneby.org, and have some great reading all year round. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. There's always something going on this radio show, Dave's Gone By, on WGBB. Well, before we do our outros and thank everybody and get to some more stuff, and I'm also hoping for and perhaps expecting a call from my usual co-host, Jeff Goodman, that I mentioned earlier in the show. He's out in California, but he called in to say howdy, and that he's having a wonderful time, and hopefully he'll call in and we'll have a wonderful time with him for a couple of minutes on the air. But before we do that, I want to bring the mood down just a little bit for a segment called Dave Says Bye, because we did lose someone who was pretty special this past week. Cinematographer Laszlo Kovacs, internationally acclaimed. He was the guy who filmed Easy Rider and did more than 70 other movies. Well, he died at age 74. At his home in Beverly Hills. They didn't release the cause of death, but, you know, he's 74. Listen to some of the films. He didn't direct them. These are the films that he put his camera to. Five Easy Pieces, Paper Moon, Shampoo, Martin Scorsese's New York, New York, What's Up, Doc, Ghostbusters, My Best Friend's Wedding, and Miss Congeniality. Richard Crudo, a former president of the American Society of Cinematographers, said, quote, he was one of the great wave of cinematographers in the 1970s who basically changed the way movies looked. He was born in Hungary and really isolated from the Western world. He was on a farm, but then the Nazi occupation came down, and then the Cold War, and then he was in his final year of film school in Budapest when a revolt against the communist regime started on the city streets, and he documented it. He shot 30,000 feet of footage and smuggled it to Austria. He did it with his friend, another cinematographer, Vilmos Zsigmond. Anyway, they came to the United States as political refugees in 1957. He worked on a bunch of small films in the 60s. And then Dennis Hopper asked him to work on the 1969 film Easy Rider, and Kovacs turned him down. But Hopper was persistent, and then the countercultural classic was born and shot on a 12-week journey from Los Angeles to New Orleans. Kovacs worked with such directors as Peter Bogdanovich, Robert Altman, Bob Rafelson, and he never won an Oscar. But I'll tell you this, the hero in Jean-Luc Godard's classic movie Breathless of the French New Wave, the hero used Laszlo Kovacs as kind of a nickname or a code name in the film, so that was an homage right there. Anyway, Laszlo Kovacs is survived by a wife and two daughters and a granddaughter, and we will be seeing him again and again through his work. And hopefully we're going to be hearing now from Mr. Jeff Goodman. Is that you, Jeff?
Jeff, who?
Yeah, Jeff, you're there. Hello, my friend. How are you? How are you enjoying California? You missed all the storms.
What?
Oh, it's been pouring the last 2 days and thundering and blackouts. It's been Armageddon here in New York.
It never rains in California.
No,
the girls don't, they warn you.
Uh-huh.
It pours. Man, it pours.
Yeah. Well, you
What's
sound jolly.
My cousin Janice?
I'm sorry?
My cousin Janice is indulging in the things that her mother won't let her have.
Such as?
She's having frozen chocolate frozen yogurt, and she'd like to tell everyone in New York how good it is.
Please tell us. Cousin Janice. Hello, Cousin Janice.
Hi, how are you?
Now, Cousin Janice said she was shy, and she wouldn't go feel comfortable coming on the radio. Meanwhile, you sound fantastic. You sound perfect on the radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so how is your yogurt?
My yogurt is delectable.
Ooh. Gentlemen, listen up.
Yeah, then it has to be chocolate.
Oh,
you know?
Oh, excuse me.
Chocolate with hot fudge on it.
So what do you do, Cousin Janice? What is your occupation?
What do I do?
Yeah.
My occupation, I'm a retired teacher, and I'm still teaching.
So they get you to work adjunct, right, and pay you about a quarter of what you're worth?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right.
What do you teach?
What do I teach? Elementary school.
Oh, very nice. So and you actually still want to continue teaching the little brats?
Yeah, they... Little brats. Yeah, well, sometimes they're lovable.
Sometimes, I guess. And what do you do? What are your hobbies?
My hobbies?
Yes.
Dancing is my big hobby right now.
As in ballroom? As in...
I kind of... West Coast swing, salsa, cha-cha, East Coast swing, nightclub two-step.
Whoa. You go, girl. Why don't you... I know this is radio, but we try to be a little different here on Dave's Gone By. Can you do a little dancing for us?
A little what?
A little dancing. Can you do some for us?
Oh, I'd love to.
Yeah, we'll wait. I'll hum something.
Okay. There we go.
I'm not hearing your feet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You
put the, near my feet.
Yeah, put the phone near your toes.
Near my toes?
Yeah, and stomp them real good.
Clunk, clunk, clunk.
it was good. I was dancing last night.
I'm impressed. So you think you're a dancer. I think you kind of are.
Actually, yeah. I think I dance fairly well out here. So, you know.
And she gets lots of...
Yeah.
Tell
good
Jeff,
exercise. It's great exercise and great fun.
And, well, it's great fun having you on the show. And of course, you know, Jeff, because you're a cousin on what side of the family? I can never follow that stuff.
A cousin on his dad's side.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that was unfortunate. Jeff, of course, lost his father a few months ago.
Yes, I know.
Didn't require a laugh right there. That was just
I know.
Conversation.
No, I didn't mean to laugh at that. I couldn't hear it because he was talking.
Oh. Jeff was talking? I can't believe it.
Yeah, I know. It's like I could barely hear you. I just have my hand up, you know, so like a stop sign. But anyway, I'll give you back to Jeff now. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And
You
all
too.
The people.
Nice to meet you, Cousin Janice.
No.
Oh, Cousin Janice is single? Is that what I heard?
I'm single. There's nobody out here to date.
Well, wait. Well,
I'm looking for a West Coast swinger.
You shocked me. Oh, a swing dancer.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Suddenly our phone lines were lighting up, and then they all went immediately dead. Damn it. All these men hanging up, you know.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you back to Jeff. Here he is.
Okie dokie. Hey, Jeff Goodman.
And I forgot to warn her that you can't curse on the radio.
Well, she didn't. She was lovely. She was delightful.
I know.
And maybe...
And single, boys.
How does she have a website? Is there a place men can go and look at her photos and do the nasty?
You go to www.janicemacias.com.
You're serious?
Yep.
How do you spell the last name?
M-A-C-I-A-S.
M-A-C-I-A-S. Janice, the usual. How do you spell Janice? Jeff?
What?
How do you spell Janice?
J-A-N-I-C-E.
I-C is the I-C-E. Not like the Joplin. There are other ways to spell it.
That's right.
JaniceMacias.com. And are there pictures of her dancing in skimpy outfits and all that kind of thing?
Janice does not get in the skimpy outfits unless it's in private.
Oh, well. And how would you know that she doesn't?
She's mad at me for just saying her last name now.
Well, it's okay. I mean, we're all the way in New York. And
but that's a married name.
Ah.
That's from Bad George. That's the Bad George last name.
Oh, so she's divorced, is what you're saying.
She's D-I-V-O-R-C. What was that song?
D-I-V-O-R-C-E. I don't know how that goes.
Yeah.
Although, of course, we're going to get sued by George Macias for bad mouthing him now.
He's probably taking the lottery somewhere.
Thank you, Jeff. I can always count on you for late in the show and saying something that's going to be like that's gonna get in some kind of Dutch. But how are you enjoying? What are you doing out in California? How are you enjoying it?
Oh, I'm just visiting my aunt. It's very nice, and I was looking. I'm getting family pictures of my father and stuff like that. So it's
okay.
I get to spend time with Janice, who really is.
She sounds like fun. Really,
she's actually. I shouldn't even say it because they only have two first cousins, but she's actually my favorite cousin.
Oh, great! Now you're bad mouthing the other cousin. Cousin who hates Jeff, call now. So, did you see any movies? Did you go to any theater out there?
We went and we saw, I took him to see Hairspray tonight.
Oh, well, you already saw Hairspray. You said
and I loved it. I loved Hairspray.
Yeah. As good
liked
the second
it
time?
Better the second time. Liked it even better the second time. How weird is that? I think you have to get used to John Travolta, and the second time it's even better.
Well, that's excellent. I'm glad to hear it.
Honestly, I will be buying the DVD.
Good. I'm happy, as I said earlier in the show, I'm hoping that it will also be a harbinger of good things for other musicals more and more to be made into film, so that they're preserved and not just for, like, the museum
I'm
of film.
I'm ready for the MUQ film.
Are they doing one?
I hope so.
That would be, I don't know how.
How do you do puppets on film?
Well, Jim Henson did it, but it's a very, I guess they have to do it like Jim Henson, where they would remove the people. Well, what?
Those puppets had feet.
True. And, of course, we got Sweeney. What? Sorry?
They didn't talk to their handlers.
Well, yeah. No, but we've got Sweeney Todd coming up. Are there any others that are in the pipeline that you can think of? That they're going to be
doing? Spring Awakening is up there.
What?
Spring Awakening is probably an option as we speak.
Good point. But that's probably down the road and down. I mean, you know, it took 10 years for Rent.
Who's in the Sweeney Todd movie? I've heard it. It's a good cast.
I don't recall. I don't know if it's Sam Mendes. I doubt it. I don't know who's in it or who's... No, isn't it Johnny Depp in the...
Yes.
He's
yes.
playing Sweeney. So that could...
He's
and I think
Sweeney.
Mrs. Lovett is Helena Bonham Carter.
Really?
Kind of. I mean, I can see her physically, but she's young.
Yeah.
And she seems a lot younger than she even is, even if she's like in her late 30s at this point. God help me. Saying late 30s is like over the hill. Anywho.
But I'll tell you, you know what, did you see the Hairspray movie yet?
No.
That James Marsden is so going to get a, if he doesn't get a nomination for a Academy Award.
Now,
he
James
is so
Mar-
perfect Marsden.
As whom?
Corny Collins.
Okay.
He's fantastic. And I waited to see because my aunt, who lived that era, thought he was fantastic too.
Well, hi.
I think he kind of steals the movie a little bit. And also the guy who plays Link is really, really good.
Well, good. That's a big recommendation from Jeff for Hairspray.
I love that movie.
Did you see any other movies while you were there?
No, I saw the Transformers when I was in Vegas.
How was that?
It was visually very interesting.
Uh huh.
It's not of my age group.
It's really meant for 20s.
20s to 30s.
Testosteronified young men kind of thing.
It's for the testosterone crowd.
Yeah. So, but it worked for that to an extent. It wasn't great.
It does. It's surprisingly.
Okay. You didn't go see the Simpsons movie?
No, I wanted to go see it. They were playing at the same time as Hairspray. Same place.
I didn't
even know it came out yet.
Yeah, it just came out this Friday, and it did pretty darn well, too. A very, very strong opening. So I'm hoping to catch
it. Maybe we'll see it next Sunday before you go into the studio.
Oh, Jeppy, it's a date. Count me in. Yeah. So what else? What else is going on, Jeff? By the way, what's happening
on Broadway?
It's 12:05 a.m., ladies and gentlemen, and you're listening to AM 1240 WGBB Freeport. Had to get that out of the way. Okay, I'm sorry. What was your question?
And we'll be right with the gospel people.
Yeah, soon.
Gospel will be coming at you soon.
Pretty soon, indeed. Yes, and happy to have them here soon. So, what was your question? I missed it.
What's news on Broadway?
Gone
for a while.
I kind of did the inside Broadway thing. So I told folks that The Homecoming is coming back. Whoop-de-doo. The Harold Pinter play.
Yes.
Like we needed that one again? Yeah, I know. Good cast, though. It's got Ronald
Sparza.
You know what
today is?
I'm sorry, what?
Today is big news on Broadway.
What? Tell me.
Today is the day that Beauty and the Beast closes.
Oh, thank you. I totally forgot about that. Beauty and the Beast closed after, what was it, 18 years?
No, it was 96. It opened not 18 years ago.
it was 11? Sounds like longer than that because it's one of the longest running shows in Broadway history.
Well, didn't Rent beat it out for Best Musical?
Well, let's see. I don't know who beat what, and I can't really...
I'm pretty sure it was 96.
I wish I could... Well, you know what? I'm going to do that because we're in Dave's Gone By Extra Time here, so I will.
Dave's got overtime.
Let's just look at the old website and see what they say.
Can you sing us something from Beauty and the Beast, Dave?
A tale as old as time. And covered up with yeast.
It always makes me fall in love with you when you sing like that.
It's not even mentioned on this website. I'm going to go another. Did it close yesterday or today?
Today.
Huh.
The 29th.
This is odd. This is funny. One website doesn't even mention it. Huh. I'm going to go to, Google News on this.
Why don't you look at beautyandthebeast.com? It'll say bye with a cracked teacup.
Aw, is that what it is? It's a cracked teacup?
Yes, now go home, because our show has really closed. It's time for you to see another show.
All right, CBS News is saying, if it would just load... You know, these TV websites always take 4 million years to load.
Because they all have Adobe Flash on them.
I know.
My knowledge.
I'm flashing the computer as we speak, and that's making it go faster. Here we go. 13 years. Closing after...
13 years. Okay, go ahead.
It opened on May 17th, 1994, and closing after 13 years on Broadway. Let's see if they say how many perform... Nah. You know how...
By the way, speaking of flashing...
Yes?
Did you know that John Waters plays the flasher in the movie Hairspray?
I heard that somewhere.
Only in the very beginning.
Yeah. Does he also have a cameo role later on?
No. And Harvey Fierstein's role was cut.
Oh, what was he supposed to be in the film?
Well, they cut Mama Please, you know?
Oh.
You know the show Mama Please?
Vaguely.
I'm a big girl, Mama, I'm a big girl now.
Well, that song I know. I do know that song.
Yeah. Mama, I'm a big girl now was cut from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And
esoteric, yeah.
And what he did is they put it in they put the song in the credits, and all of a sudden Harvey sings, "You're a big big girl" at the end of the show. So I don't know what he did, but he was in the movie.
And we should explain that Harvey was the first lead actor in the Broadway musical of Hairspray when that opened.
The original Edna.
The original Edna. By the way, speaking of the original stuff. They're Beauty and the Beast closing after 5,464 regular performances. And the final company included Donny Osmond as Gaston. And we wonder why it closed. No, I'm kidding. I'm sure he was
fine. Must have come back just to close it.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they've had a few pretty famous people going in there. I think Susan Egan was in there for a bit.
She's the original Belle.
Oh, there you go. She was the original Belle. Who else came out of Beauty and the Beast?
Well, a lot of people. I mean, Lumiere now is from... who's the funny guy from Avenue Q?
Oh, gosh. Don't put me on the spot like that. But okay. Well, the funny guy from
Avenue Q. John Turturro.
Not John Leguizamo.
John C.
John Kennedy. John Dillinger. John...
Famous John. John Wayne.
Famous John. There's a famous John on Route 69.
John Travolta.
There you go. By the way, we're having... also, I should mention to anybody who's calling into the radio station, or seems to be, because of the weather trouble and the blackouts, some of the phone lines are kind of iffy. So my phone line is flashing, but there's actually no call to take. So I...
Well, maybe that's Ace telling you she'll be late.
That could very well be, but I can't. There's no way for me to find out.
So there's been blackouts on Long Island?
Oh, yeah, earlier in the day, right in the middle of the island. So,
people blacked out because then I haven't taped my big brother.
It probably went on and off.
He might be gone.
Oh, no. And I wouldn't guarantee, it might have flashed on and off. I don't know if that affects your VCR, if the power goes out and then back on
good
a minute.
Oh, God, I hope I have my reality television. Oh. I have to go home and catch up on it. If I'm missing it, I'll be in trouble.
You missed one episode.
Three. Tuesday, Thursday, and today.
Well, why don't you tell the folks what you where they are in the show that you're watching, which gives me a convenient excuse to kind of run out and look out the doorway and see if anybody's there.
Where I was in Big Brother?
Yeah, I'll be right back.
I think they were gonna kick out that older woman who I didn't like anyway. It was between her and the guy who he liked, because Evil Dick, as he's known, was the head of the household, so he nominated them for eviction. So I kind of hope the woman who doesn't like gay people leaves. And then, let's see, what else? Do you want Jan to say something?
No.
Jan, say something.
Something.
There you go. She is compelling radio, isn't she? Okay, so, Dave's looking out the window, because they've been having really bad weather in New York. This is it's news to me. I'm all excited about the bad weather. Meanwhile, everyone's listening to radio, and we know. Look out the window.
Okay, Jeff, I'm back. I have no idea what
I'm in beautiful California with 70 and 80 degree weather.
Ooh.
Clear as a bell.
How long are you going to be there?
I leave on Tuesday. So I'll be bringing the sunshine back to New York on Tuesday.
Actually, you really will, because there are going to be isolated thunderstorms, they say, for another day. And then by Tuesday, the rest of the week will be warm and kind of...
That's because I'm coming back to New York.
Spreading the sunshine of your love.
That's right.
Yeah.
Dave, can you pick me up at the airport?
If you want to ride on my shoulders, on my bike.
Ooh.
Ooh. Dave, don't even.
You say the kindest thing.
Can you fit on the handlebars? Can you straddle?
I can straddle.
That would... I'm sorry I even... Yeah. That would be certainly quite a visual for me, I'll tell you.
Don't go there, girlfriend.
I'm certainly not. So
how old are you, Dave?
I beg your pardon?
How old are you?
Take a guess.
You
know the answer, but take a guess.
36.
Thank you. No.
How old are you?
I'm 43, dude.
43? He's 43, dude.
Yes, I'm 43.
I just wanted to know, because she says you sound cute.
Oh. And
I
how old is
her that she's wrong.
I was cute when I had hair, I mean, I still have hair, but it's all below the waist. Yeah. So, how old is Janice? Maybe we can find her a beau.
Janice is 45.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I okay, cool. Well, she sounds very cute.
How old did you think she was?
I don't know. The way the people you hang out with, I assume she was in her late 60s or something. And in fact, she's dancing and all those kinds of old-fashioned things. I thought, aha, she's only using the cane when she has to. But, she's 45.
You thought you were only using the cane when you had to.
Oh, my God.
I'm kidding. The logo
Can you apologize to her in person?
The logo for her website involves a walker. So, you can understand why I was being fooled.
A cane?
I'm kidding.
How do you dance with a cane?
Well, I guess... Hey, Fred Astaire did?
Yeah.
Come to
think
of it.
Well, that is true.
A lot of tap dancers dance with a hat and a cane.
I'm
every
not a
Fosse
tap
dance.
But, oh, my God. You need two hands to do what I do.
Oh, I don't even want to.
I don't even. You like that one.
I can't even begin to go there, even though it is after midnight, so the FCC would allow me, but still.
Do what I do, too.
You hear him?
I heard
okay,
that.
I'm giving you back, because everything I say, you guys can make a total joke out of it.
Oh, completely.
Okay, here
we
go.
We want to find you a boy. We want to find you a nice man.
A nice man.
Does he have to be
yes.
Jewish, or does it not matter?
Hey, well, I wasn't married the first time to somebody Jewish, but, you know.
See, that was your mistake.
Yeah, thanks. Maybe I better try Jewish this time. I don't know. Who is the president? No. Oh, my favorite cousin, Jeff. No. He's got a gun to my head.
No, God forbid. No, no, no.
No, no, no. Okay.
That's not a gun. I'm just happy to see you, Janet.
Here he is.
Some incestuous comedy there on this Dave's Gone By Extra Overtime time.
What
on
time
WGBB.
Is it?
It's 22 minutes after midnight, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
On the big GBB.
The big GBB.
So I'm just having some fun here with my good friend.
WG double B.
I'm so glad you called, Jeff. I would be so dying. I mean, I'd be playing music, but I'd be so dying here. If I could, I would be here all night with you. But unfortunately, I can't. Although it's been an absolute pleasure to be spending the evening with you on Dave's Gone By, and also on this Dave's Gone By Extra Overtime, which is always great, great fun. I want to thank, certainly, Jeff Goodman and his cousin Janice for helping the time move so quickly. Also want to thank so much Louise Sacco, the interim executive director of the Museum of Bad Art in Dedham, Massachusetts. Sometimes I said Needham, Massachusetts, because the office is in Needham, but the actual art gallery, the museum, is in Dedham. And anyway, all that information is at their website, museumofbadart.org. I want to thank my beautiful and beloved wife, Joyce, for being my beautiful and beloved wife. I want to thank my good friends, Nihal and G, for a delightful time in the city this weekend with them and their kids. I also want to thank you all for listening and reminding you, please, to come back here next week at 11, Sunday night, for the 233rd episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your Dave's going by. Good night. I wish you great art and bad art and gone by.
Page or canvas, his favorite. So many possibilities.